Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He is not just a ram, he's a battering ram, allegedly. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we have a stream of consciousness, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you. And our lead this hour comes from the club. Now, I've not been to a club in some time, but specifically the nightclub. Apparently, these things are opened up again in many cities. I'm sure some places they're not, but that is where the story of the hour and the story to begin our radio show starts, and where Aaron Donald, defensive stalwart, was socializing over the weekend in his native land there of Pittsburgh. Now, if you didn't see this and you haven't been paying attention for whatever reason, I'll give you the truncated version here and then we'll converse. So an attorney who I've never heard of has filed a criminal complaint against the pass-rushing superstar Aaron Donald, who can ram it all day and ram it all night, even at the club. And this is with Pittsburgh police. It happened on Wednesday, saying that the Ram player and others assaulted his client, a 26-year-old guy. This taking place at an after-hours club. It happened last weekend. The attorney, someone by the name of Todd Hollis, said his client, DeVincent Spriggs, needed not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. He needed 16 stitches and suffered a broken orbital bone, a broken schnoz, the old nose, and, of course, a concussion along with a sprained and or broken arm. There are photos that have been percolating around social media. If you're interested, it's not that hard to find them. They're just a couple clicks away. We can't show you the photos because we are only on the audio platform. We have no video component, but you can find them. And we're not talking about just your obviously regular NFL player. This is not a garden variety defensive player. Aaron Donald is the gold standard in the NFL, which makes this a story worth talking about. If it was a normal defensive player, we wouldn't spend much time on it, but Aaron Donald is a headliner. He's a three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He's a seven-time Pro Bowl selection, 85-plus career sacks. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm going to be wearing a gold jacket, but will he be wearing a prison outfit before he wears the gold jacket? Let us discuss the question, where is this Aaron Donald story going, and how much trouble is he in? So my thoughts on this, you've got the triangle, dear old mom, and petty cash. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, I'm going to put my lawyer hat on. Now, I'm not an actual attorney, but I can play one on the radio. And if you've listened to this show and to me bloviate over the years, you know that these legal stories are my guilty pleasure. I enjoy every one of them. I'm obsessed with these legal stories. We'll have more on Deshaun Watson, for example, later. But this is about Aaron Donald. And at the very least, Aaron Donald is headed into the penalty box. And that much we believe is true. Now, how far into the penalty box he goes, that's yet to be determined. The jury is still out on that. He's going to end up spending a lot of money on whether it's just attorney fees or whether or not it is having to buy out a settlement. But there's going to be money that's dished out from Aaron Donald. We have no idea at this point what actually happened. So far, it is a one-way street up until this moment. It's not a two-way street of information. Aaron Donald is going to have to show some of his defensive skills here to rebuff these claims. Remember, this story and these stories in general are like a triangle. Right? There's three sides to them. There are three sides to every story like this, just like a triangle. There's the side of the guy that had his head bashed in. There's Aaron Donald's side, which we haven't heard yet. And then the truth typically falls somewhere in the middle, right? So the person making these accusations is going to present themselves in the greatest light. And then Aaron Donald's going to counter that by putting himself in the greatest light. And then you have to figure out where the truth is. But it's hard to imagine a scenario where this was just incidental contact that led to pugilism. There had to be more to it, whether that was just verbal, nonverbal, we don't know. Now, part B here, there is no debating that whoever this guy in the photo is had his face absolutely just smashed, blown to smithereens. It looked like scrambled eggs with cheese and some kind of seasoning and bell pepper. I mean, it was just, oh, my goodness. And it appeared he got into a fight with a pack of rhinos, this guy. And it happened around 3 a.m. Over the weekend. Aaron Donald clearly did not listen to dear old mom. Right? What did dear old mom say? Mama said it best. Nothing good ever happens after midnight except sports talk radio. That's what she said. Now, we are told the incident started. I love this. Did you see where the incident started? The Boom Boom Room nightclub in Pittsburgh. Now, I've been to Pittsburgh. I've never been to the Boom Boom Room. You want a good time? You got to go to the Boom Boom Room. So Donald is accused of taking that literally, apparently, and going boom, boom on this guy right to the face there in the eye. Now, all that because the allegation is the guy, he claimed, you know, it was just inadvertent, accidentally bumped into Aaron Donald in the Boom Boom Room. Both parties then, whatever happened, were asked to leave the club by the bouncers. So they got outside and then all hell breaks loose. They got a knockdown, drag out, fisticuff street fight. It's on like Donkey Kong, right? And that led to this cat, DeVincent Spriggs, this guy getting absolutely mollywopped. But by who? He's claiming it's Aaron Donald, but that part is yet to be determined. Now, the final word on this. The Pittsburgh police have been called in. They did inform the media in the Steel City there that their detectives are reviewing the complaint and, this is a key part of the story, the video footage. It's a very important part of the story if you follow these situations. And they're also consulting with the Pittsburgh District Attorney's Office, and they will be the ones ultimately that will decide whether or not they have enough evidence that will warrant a criminal charge against Aaron Donald. Both the NFL and the Rams have issued the standard boilerplate response. You know what that is, right? Well, the NFL said, we're looking into the matter to understand the facts. The Rams said, we are collecting more information, but we will have no further comment at this time. Ay, ay, ay. It's a version of the same boilerplate response. So what is the next move here for Aaron Donald? Right, and my theory on this is you have to hope for a malfunction. The detectives are looking at the video footage from the club and then also looking at the footage from outside the club. As long as this was not caught on tape, then Aaron Donald has nothing to really worry about criminally. Right? Now, if it is on tape, he got a lot of problems if he's the one throwing the punches. But if he's not on tape throwing the punch, he can then take a page out of Chris Carter's handbook, and you got to have a fall guy, and somebody else in his posse can be the fall guy, one of the guys on his crew, and blame that guy. Now, you got to write a big check to that, whoever that person is, but he can claim, hey, it wasn't me. You know, I was one of the guys. I didn't tell him to do it. That knucklehead did it. Not my fault. I'm not responsible for that guy getting his eyeballs knocked a little goofy. It's not my fault. Now, since Donald's the one that's got the money, always go to the person that has the money. The first rule of any kind of litigation. Who's got the fat wallet? Well, he does have a fat wallet, so let's assume there's no video of Aaron Donald throwing a punch, which would lead to criminal charges, and say that it's just an allegation. Somebody from Aaron Donald's group threw a punch. It might have been Aaron Donald, maybe not. So he would then have to go to the ATM, get some petty cash out, and make this go away. Now, there's likely a lot of movement going on right now behind the scenes. Aaron Donald's very tied into the community in Pittsburgh. He grew up in that area. He played college football at Pitt, and he loves that area. He donates a lot of money, and you would think that to avoid this facing criminal charges, the way this game works, you surrogates and you reach out to certain people and... How would you like a nice donation? You got an election coming up, huh? Okay, I can maybe help you out a little bit, help you win that next election. So all those kind of side deals go on at this point to avoid criminal charges. But the main thing is just you have the money to lose some change here, throw some loose change at this guy, and move on and learn a lesson. Aaron Donald, this is a one-off. As far as we know, this is a one-off. It's not like Deshaun Watson where he was going around meeting people to beat the hell out of them at clubs. This was an incident that was not planned out the way Deshaun Watson was allegedly planning out his little deances. But as far as Aaron Donald, right, as long as it's not on tape and it's just a civil matter, no criminal issue, it's more of a nuisance than anything else. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to get in trouble with the NFL and the NFL can suspend him, but it'd be a couple games. As opposed to if he is facing criminal charges, then you bring in the commissioner's exempt list. If he is charged with a crime, he's going to be suspended, and he should be suspended. If he beat this guy up, how dumb would Aaron Donald have to be, right? I mean, what could the guy have done? You're the one holding the bag of money. What would have had to have happened to lead to that kind of beat? What a knucklehead. What a knucklehead move that would be. But we're just speculating because we haven't seen the tape. Maybe the tape will come out in the next couple of days. We'll find out. But at this point, that's where we are on the Aaron Donald story.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Not living up to the hype. That would be an understatement. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we provide running commentary coast to coast, border to border, and beyond the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck. As we soar through the skies here in the red eye all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios, and we thank you for choosing us. There are options, not many good ones, but there are options out there. And we do thank you that you've chosen to hang out with us. So, our lead this hour comes from Pro Bouncy Ball. Not living up to the hype. Not living up to the hype. That would be the Eastern Powers getting together in Philadelphia, the Wells Fargo Center, in front of a socially distanced crowd of a little over 4,000, called a sellout because that's all the people they were allowed to have in the building. But Brooklyn and Philadelphia, with supremacy in the Eastern Conference on the line. One team attempted to win, the other team did not, and so it did not live up to the heavyweight title fight build up for a regular season game. It was far from that. Philadelphia jumped out to a large lead. In fact, there was only one lead change in the entire game. The Nets had an early lead of 1 point. I guess there were actually technically two lead changes, but the Sixers led by as many as 22 points. They then put their feet up and relaxed, and a bunch of nobodies, the backups from Brooklyn, put on a late rally. But it was the Sixers who get the 6-point win, 123-117. The game, in many respects, marred by the absolute arrogance. That's the adjective. The word is arrogance by the Nets franchise. They decided we assume, out of an abundance of caution to not play Kevin Durant, James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Blake Griffin. And the injury report, it's not even the injury report, the box score, Kevin Durant listed as did not play, injury illness, left hamstring, and then they put injury management. Blake Griffin also didn't play. His reason was injury management. That is the in vogue term in the NBA. LaMarcus Aldridge also out. They claimed illness on that. James Harden not playing, although I think he is legitimately hurt for the New Jersey/Brooklyn Nets, whatever the hell they are. Anyway, so listen. Kyrie Irving was the only regular to play. Seeing some of the quotes coming out of the Nets locker room, they just didn't seem to really care all that much. So what's the takeaway from the Sixers getting a leg up in the Eastern Conference race for that number one seed and home court advantage? So my take on this, you've got neurosis, Clark Gable, and serenaded. And we will combine all of these things together. Now, to lead off, Brooklyn, listen, can you pretend? Is that too much to ask? Well, they don't care about home court advantage. It's irrelevant. Maybe it is irrelevant. There's only a few thousand fans in most of these arenas anyway. These gyms are pretty barren, even though fans are back. The absolute, I don't give a crap attitude by the Nets, though, on full display. The fact that Kevin Durant played 27 minutes in a 30-point curb-stomping of the Timber Puffs on Wednesday afternoon, which meant, because of injury management, Durant couldn't play in the game on Wednesday. It would have been very easy for the Nets. They could have beaten Minnesota if they had gone out and put a search team together to find old Nets players of the past back when they were in Jersey, guys like Buck Williams or Mike Jaminski or Derek Coleman, someone like that. They could have signed any of those players. They're really old now, and they would have beaten Minnesota. All right, dinosaurs. They could have brought dinosaurs in. They didn't do that. They played Durant. They didn't have to play Durant, but it was like we don't care. That's what they were saying, right? And this is another example. We are reminded from time to time, this is Adam Silver's NBA. This is under his watch, and it doesn't seem to matter. Regular season matchups are not valued at all. In playoff seeding is not valued. It's all about load management. It is the neurosis of our times that have infected the NBA mindset here. And Adam Silver, as the commissioner, has advocated this and doesn't have a problem in it. He endorses it. And as a result, a direct result, the causation of this, there's no importance on these games. It's not just the Nets. Listen, the Clippers won their game, but they didn't play Kawhi Leonard or PG-13 or Marcus Morris. Many of their key guys did not play. They could have played. They didn't play because of injury management, and they needed a Reggie Jackson three-pointer at the buzzer to beat the worst team in the Eastern Conference because they were playing their backups. And load management. It is shocking anytime a player ends up legitimately injured. It should be, right? Because NBA teams seemingly all believe that they have figured out the cheat code to the human body, right? That they know exactly if you play X number of minutes, but you don't play on this night after a back-to-back, or if you played three games in a row, you got to sit the fourth game out, and you'll never get hurt. Spoiler alert, they have not figured this out. Instead, what the NBA has done is created a monster, right? It's a league full of star players in particular, because they're the ones that get away with this, who feel entitled to get extra days off. It's one of those things that has changed in my lifetime. Right? It used to be frowned upon. You felt shame if you didn't play and you were healthy and able to play. You felt like you were letting your teammates down, your coworkers down. You were letting the fans down. You were letting the team down. There's none of that now. There's no guilt. There's no shame if you're a healthy scratch in the NBA. In fact, you're actually offended if you're not babied. Like, how dare you? There's no badge of honor for playing and grinding through the war of attrition in the regular season. There's no more war of attrition in the regular season. That's a thing of the past. They've ended that. Give them days off. That's fine. Imagine in combat. You know, listen, we'll let that infantry unit. They've been in battle for a while. Why don't we give them the week off there? We'll let them rest up and all. I mean, come on. All right. Now, furthermore, the Brooklyn Nets, who as a franchise have loads of gumption, right, with this laissez-faire attitude, happy-go-lucky approach. Is it going to work? There's no sense of urgency for the regular season. They're thumbing their nose at the regular season. They're also thumbing their nose at continuity being important. They believe that they will just be able to go somewhere in the bowels of the arena there in Brooklyn, the Barclays Center, and they will be able to hit the turbo button. And I don't know whether it's Durant or Harden or Irving, but one of those guys will hit the turbo button and the postseason starts. For this, you and I believe we should both be rooting against the Nets. Because if they are successful, if this scheme actually works in Brooklyn, it is going to send the NBA further down the rabbit hole of unwatchability during the regular season. Why is that? I think it's pretty obvious. I've laid it out for you. But the Nets' projected starting five, this is a mind-blowing nugget of information. The team that is expected to be on the court for game one of the Eastern Conference playoffs, whenever that starts, is a lineup that features Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Joe Harris. How many games have those guys played? How many minutes have those guys played together? You got a number? How about 0-0? Let me repeat that. If I know some people don't listen. A lot of you don't. Shame on you. But I didn't misspeak. That lineup, which is seemingly a very good lineup, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, Joe Harris, team expected to be the starting lineup when the Nets start the playoffs. And 0 minutes, 0 games, no possessions, none of it. And Kyrie Irving and his teammates there are the Clark Gable of basketball, because frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. They don't. This, you know, that's a classic from Gone with the Wind. But if Brooklyn wins a ring this way, then that will only empower this to continue and get even more ridiculous, if it's possible, for future teams to follow in their footsteps. They'll say, well, yeah, but Brooklyn won, and they didn't play any minutes together, so we don't have to play any minutes together. Further marginalizing regular season play. All right, last thing here. So it is the perfect Ponzi scheme for the Nets. It's something Bernie Madoff would appreciate. He's dead now, but he would appreciate this. The Nets, if they pull off their evil plan, if it's not for the meddling Clippers or someone else that derails that, then, of course, they win. They are celebrated. To the victor goes the spoils. Should they drown in the Atlantic, then Brooklyn will have a ready-made scapegoat. It's not our fault, man. Not our fault. We had no time together. No time at all. And they'll point the finger at the injuries and the rest, and they'll pass the buck. And Steve Nash looks like a useful idiot as the coach. They could blame him. Forget individual responsibility. Forget that. Those days, much like the feeling bad when you don't play and you could play, are long gone like a house by the side of the road. At least one memorable thing, though, did come out of the Nets 76ers game. One thing that made me smile, it warmed my heart. We actually have some audio from it. So Kevin Durant did not play. He was dressed in his street clothes, but he was serenaded by the bleacher creatures in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia sports fan, giving Kevin Durant the raspberries. And if you did not see this, if you did not hear it, as Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape. Here's how it sounded. Now, this is late in the fourth quarter. There's about a minute to go in the game, and there's some foul shots going on. And listen to the Philadelphia fans.
And he hits a pair.
KD sucks. KD sucks. KD sucks. Everybody now, you in the back. KD sucks. KD sucks. I am a sucker for rhythmic chanting. That's good. Not as good as the Urban Meyer or our friend in Spokane.
Urban Meyer! Yeah. Urban Meyer! Urban Meyer! Urban
My coach named Urban Jackson.
Urban Meyer. Yeah.
That's right. Ed in Spokane
Urban
here.
Urban Meyer.
That's right. Mallard Man March. Thank you. Knowing how thin-skinned Kevin Durant is, I'm imagining his insides turned to cookie dough when he heard that. Like, oh, my God. Holy crap.
Who are you?
Yeah. He probably got like seven other burner accounts to attack Philadelphia fans. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Third degree, Coop Dalu.
Ben, the Bucks are set to be the first ever Super Bowl champs to bring back all 22 starters the following season, and most importantly, that includes Tom Brady. He can't play forever, though. Should the Bucks be looking to draft his replacement this year?
All right, so it's complicated because on the surface it makes sense, right? Tom Brady's 43. He's already outperformed expectations. How long can this last? It's like the great Benjamin Franklin quote, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. But the reason it's complicated, Tom Brady does not want to groom a young quarterback. And he's very jealous. He had a lot of animosity towards Jimmy Garoppolo. So the move here for the Buccaneers is to draft some lightly regarded college quarterback and hope you catch lightning in a bottle. But you don't want to rub Brady the wrong way. Next!
Now, last month after the Saints released Emmanuel Sanders, the Bills picked him up the very next day. Stephon Diggs revealed to the media this week that he did some recruiting to get Sanders to Buffalo. Ben, do you think Sanders will have a big year for the Bills?
Well, I'm not expecting it. Emmanuel Sanders is well-traveled, right? He's become a poor man's Brandon Cooks. Broncos, 49ers, Saints, now Bills. So he's keeping U-Haul in business, but he's no longer like a top 20 receiver. And he's graded out pretty well from Pro Football Focus in recent years. But remember the law of diminishing returns. He's entering his age 34 season. But hey, at least he's fully vested in the NFL pension, so he's got that going for him. Next!
So when it was announced that the Timberwolves are to be sold to Alex Rodriguez, many thought that he might move the team to Seattle. The current owner, Glenn Taylor, told the media that the NBA would block any such move. Ben, how long before the NBA gets a team back in Seattle?
I'm going to say in the next 10 years. Glenn Taylor doesn't know whether the NBA owners would block that or not. He's just saying that to calm the natives. I mean, the oil barons that bought the Sonics said they weren't moving the team to Oklahoma. They did. So, you know, telegraph these things. But the NBA could also expand. They could add two more teams, go to Vegas and Seattle, or move some teams to the east like Memphis and New Orleans. They've got options. 10 years. How do we do, Coop?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's the winner! Whee!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's now time for...
Time for... Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. And we do thank you for being enthusiastic and supporting the content machine here on the radio show. So we pass the mic over to the master of ceremonies, Coop Daloop, for the reading of the questions. For me, it's myself and everyone else on the show. It's Ben and Friends here. Ask Ben and Friends, a very evasive part of the show. Here we go.
All right, Ben, we're going to start off with a question for everybody. This is from Fenley Fanboys.
You're starting with a Fenley burner account?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have any of you purchased items from infomercials or other as-seen-on-TV items?
Yes. Well, when I was a kid, though, I haven't done it as an adult, but I have purchased. When I was a kid, the infomercial that was very popular, there was this car wax that you could put on your car and light it on fire and your car wouldn't be damaged. And I was mesmerized by this infomercial. I was like, I have to get that. I was a teenager. I'd started driving. So I bought it, and, you know, we tried to light the car on fire just like the commercial, and it didn't really work. It was false advertising, but I did do that. And I bought a few other things over the years. But normally what I'll do is I'll go to, like, at Walmart, they have a Scene on TV section, or CVS, and I'll check the items out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have been tempted. My wife talks me out of it, but I'm like, oh, we really need that. Those sunglasses that are, you know, the extra sun-blocking sunglasses, you know, all that stuff. But I've absolutely bought a few things, but not in a long time. What about you, Eddie?
Yeah, actually, I bought something recently. It's called It's called the Battery Daddy. It's just this plastic storage unit to put all your batteries in.
The Battery Daddy.
I see that one.
Because we just had like a giant Ziploc bag full of batteries, and let's organize this. $19.99. We got a plastic case for all of them now.
The Batty Daddy.
Is it as good as advertised? Is it dependable? Is it a reliable product?
Yeah, I mean it probably costs $2 to make. It's just plastic, but
looking at it right now.
You can grab the batteries quickly. They're all in a place. You don't have to dig around through a bag. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they sold you. They sold you on the product, and you got that. I got you. Oh, what about you, Roberto?
Yeah, at the LA County Fair, they have a lot of those as seen on TV products. I bought a lot of them there. Yeah.
I love the infomercials. I read a couple of books on the sales techniques they use in infomercials, and they are brilliant. They have mastered it. They really have. They're tremendous pitchmen on the infomercials. And if you're in sales, you should study how they do the infomercials. The mind tricks. You know, supplies are limited. Act now before supplies run out. You know, all the. But wait, there's more freebies. You know, they really get you. They really hook you in. What about you, Coop?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. My roommate did buy one of those, like, you know, quick dicer things.
Is that a Ron Popeil product?
I'm not sure. It's
I'm still upset because I booked Ron Popeil for my podcast. He's retired, and he was going to do it, and then I wasn't a big enough name, so he wouldn't come on the podcast. Like right when his publicist was like, "Yeah, he'll do it." And he looked me up on the internet. I guess I wasn't because I do the overnight, so he wouldn't come on. I was very upset by that.
It would have been
a dream.
It was one of those things where like you put the onion in there, and then you just like bring down the thing, and then it dices it, and it's all in the container already. And
well, Ron Popeil came up with the O-Matics, his family. So the Chop-O-Matic, the Dial-O-Matic, the Veg-O-Matic, all of that are Ron Popeil products. Yeah. Do you know who the original infomercial people were?
No.
The Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company. They toured. No, seriously. I read about this. No, you're laughing. But they went around the country.
Who?
Like boardwalks and street fairs and whatever. And they promised cures for everything. And that's where they would strangle rattlesnakes on stage, right? And they claimed it was an elixir in rattlesnakes. And, you know, the term snake oil, that's where it comes from. How about that? That's infomercial knowledge right there. You guys don't seem impressed. Come on. No? I'm not making that up, by the way. You can look that up. I'm not making that up. I read that in a book, so it must be true.
Nice.
All right, why don't we pause for the cause? We'll have more Ask Ben, your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour. The rest of the hour. We'll get to it, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And Ask Ben continues. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. Back to Koopaloo.
All right, Ben. I'll save this if we don't have anything else. There's another. I don't know. This
I don't
one
have
really
anything else. I see tons of questions here.
No, I know, but this one really seems like it's from an actual burner account belonging to Brian Finley. So that's why I'm gonna.
Well, he's got several burner accounts. Finley's got no life. He's made an imaginary girlfriend, and he's got burner accounts. He's like no, seriously. He's like Gagon. Gagon has the fake account. David Gascon. He's a fraud. He's got the Gagon account.
All right, well, we'll skip that one. Manic Mike wants to know, what's your favorite exotic style pizza?
Well, I'm a traditionalist with the pizza. I made a pizza. I had pizza for lunch on Wednesday. I made the garlic onion pizza.
Wait, what? You didn't fast?
Well, no, I'm on a fast right now. I won't eat again until Friday, but I did eat on Wednesday. I had pizza. And I made a pie at home, and it was. I do eat occasionally, Roberto, during the week.
You say you don't eat during the week.
No, I eat like I eat a couple times during the week. I hadn't eaten since So no, but I don't
good
judge
for you,
me.
Good for you.
How dare you? No, but I made a pie at home, and I mix in a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I don't go that exotic. Well, Eddie, any exotic pizza you eat?
I mean, it's funny. My wife and I have pizza almost every week. Like once a week because we both love it, but she doesn't want to ever try anything different. And I'm usually, it's weird because I'm usually not that way. I usually like get the same thing because if I like it, I get it over and over again. But
creature of habit,
when it comes to pizza, I'm like, let's try something different. And she never wants to try anything different. Although she thinks I'm crazy for liking pineapple on pizza. And I think she's crazy for liking anchovies on pizza.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
Oh, some domestic situations going on.
So we always get, pepperoni. It's compromise.
Roberto, you eat any like exotic cow feed on a pizza?
Pesto with mushroom pizza. It's pretty good. And chorizo and jalapenos on it. Bomb. From Shakey's.
From Shakey's?
Yeah. Really good.
All right. What about you, Koopaloop?
I feel like barbecue chicken isn't really considered exotic anymore. I feel like that's like a standard.
I've done that. It's pretty good.
Yeah. But, I do occasionally at this Ventura County pizza place called Toppers, and they're the best. I get this buffalo chicken pizza, and that one's got like creamy garlic sauce and then buffalo chicken and then pepperoncinis and bacon and then French fried onions, those crispy onions. So that's kind of exotic, I suppose.
There you go. All right, very good. Keep it going here. It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
Late night drug tester wants to know, everyone, have you ever been on a train or bus for more than 24 hours?
No. No, I have not. I have driven around the subway system in Manhattan and all over the boroughs because I got lost and I just stayed on it, but it wasn't 24 hours. It was, maybe 4 or 5 hours. What about you, Eddie?
I mean, I was on a bus a lot, as a kid playing sports. I grew up in a small town in Central California, so we would actually, have to drive to other towns to play play other schools. Some of them were a few hours occasionally, but in my adult life, no, not really at all. No.
Okay. Roberto?
Yeah, my adult life either. No. As a kid, a few times in Mexico on vacation with my mom and my dad. Well, that's about it.
All right. Koopaloop, any long bus trips or?
No, the longest train ride that I ever had was about 5 hours, and that was in Europe, but. That's
pretty long. That's pretty good.
There you go. All right. Keep it going here. It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers.
Well, now this is a question that I came up with that I'm curious to know.
Your own question.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Coop asking questions.
Do you, if you guys had to rate it from favorite to least favorite, do you know your wives' favorite sports in order?
Well, it's easy for me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy for me too, but in a different way.
None of the above.
Not really into sports.
None.
So it's not that hard. Eddie, any? Well, football, right?
Yeah, Chargers, football. Yeah. The NFL in particular. She's all in on the NFL.
I'm guessing baseball for Roberto.
Yeah, baseball, then football, then NBA. Not so much. She's not really interested in basketball.
Coop,
what's Karen's least favorite?
She absolutely hates any kind of boxing, MMA, any of that stuff. She's very much against that.
Against that. Interesting.